The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In John 13:10, Jesus was washing the feet of his disciples, and he said, "You are all clean." What did he mean by that statement? Is this about the forgiveness of sins? Let's explore this together on Grace in Focus. Glad you've joined us today, and we're coming to you from the Grace Evangelical Society. Please look up our website, faithalone.org. Find information there about our conference, our national conference coming this May 19th through the 22nd. It'll be at Camp Copus, a retreat center in North Texas. It's a wonderful time. We'd love for you to come and be with us. All of the details, including early bird registration and first-time registration, are right there on our website, faithalone.org. Also find Bob Wilkins' most recent book, Grace is Still Under Siege. That's faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
Ken has a question from your Zoom classes. You have two or three different Zoom classes each week?
Yeah, my daughter Catherine, we'll just put a plug in for them. She has some that are directed towards a woman's study, but we also have a couple classes during the week where we discuss free grace issues. And there was a question proposed by Dan, and there's no way we're going to talk about this in 13 minutes.
We'll give it a try.
We'll give it a shot. And it deals with John 13:10.
The foot washing passage. Where he comes to Peter, and Peter doesn't want...
Yeah, Peter says in verse 8, "You're not going to wash my feet." And then in verse 10, it says, "Jesus said to him, 'He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean.'" And then he says, "And you are clean, but not all of you." And he's talking about Judas. So the question here is, what does Jesus mean when he says you're clean? You've taken a bath. You just need to wash your feet.
And you have the same thing in John 15:3. And this is after Judas has gone out. Doesn't 15:3 say also you are clean?
"You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you,"
right?
John 15:3. And so just to set the stage, most evangelicals would say, and this is certainly what I was taught in seminary, I think, that you're clean in the sense that your sins have been forgiven.
Right. So they equate cleansing and forgiveness.
Right.
So it's often said that John 13, the foot washing, illustrates 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so the foot washing, they say, illustrates forgiveness of sins.
Right. And the being clean would talk about positional forgiveness.
So they would say you're positionally forgiven, past, present, and future, but you need ongoing fellowship forgiveness.
Right.
They call it fellowship forgiveness.
And that's got to be the most common way to understand this. So,
and you and I and Catherine have come to the view that's not correct.
Right.
And we've come to the view that there is no forgiveness in advance of our future sins, but that has nothing to do with our eternal destiny, because we view forgiveness as a fellowship issue, not a relationship issue, not an eternal life issue. But then that leads to this question from Dan, because you were talking about this view of forgiveness that led him to that question, right?
Yeah, we discussed this in our Zoom class. And by the way, this is not just an academic discussion, because people not only equate this with the forgiveness of sins, but they also say forgiveness of sins is what saves us from hell.
Right.
You know, and so this touches on a lot of issues in our theology and how we're going to interpret the scriptures. And before we got on to this recording here, Bob brought up a great, great point. In John, forgiveness of sins is not even mentioned until John 20.
Right. Only once, and that's after Jesus' resurrection. And even then, it's not God forgiving. It's the apostles forgiving.
So
the sins you forgive are forgiven. The sins you retain are retained.
Right.
And there's no place in John's gospel where Jesus says, "He who believes in me receives the forgiveness of sins." Never. Not
right.
once.
But
even John 13.
Right. But that's, yeah, it's not even mentioned here. The forgiveness of sins is not mentioned here. So for the benefit of me, since you weren't in our Zoom class,
yeah,
and for the people there, what do you think is going on? What does Jesus mean when he says, you're clean. And then John 15:3, because of the word that I preached to you, you're clean, but you need your feet washed. And what does it all symbolize?
Okay, so there's a double meaning when he says you're clean, but not all of you. On the one hand, it means the 11 are clean, but not Judas. But then there's a secondary meaning, which is Judas, you're clean, the other of the 11 are clean, but you still need your feet washed. You still need this ongoing cleansing. So the way I would explain it is this way. If you look at 1 John 1:7-9, there's a
same author.
And there's a difference because in 1:7, he says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus, what?
Cleanses us.
Yeah, from all sin. Then in 9, confession is required for forgiveness. What we need for cleansing is to walk in the light. What we need for forgiveness is as we're walking in the light, we get forgiveness of the sins we confess and cleansing from all unrighteousness.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
There's a distinction clearly in 1 John 1:7-9 between cleansing and forgiveness. They're not the same thing. They're related. At the moment that a person is cleansed, they're also forgiven. But that's not the same as saying they're identical. In Titus 3:5, Paul refers to the washing of regeneration. At the moment of the new birth, a person is clean. They're also, of course, forgiven, but those are not the same things. And you also have the John 13 passage, the John 15 passage. You have 1 John 1:7-9. So you and I were talking, I think you're right. You call cleansing something like your status?
Yeah, in our Zoom class, that's what came up to my mind. Like, it describes my status with the Lord. I'm cleansed in front of with him or something.
And that won't change. I don't need that in the future because my status is always going to be that clean status.
I have access to him.
But in terms of my experience, I need ongoing cleansing.
Yeah. And is that the picture of the feet washing? Here's the example I gave for the Zoom class. In Mark 2, Jesus heals a leper and it refers to him as being cleansed.
Right.
Go give the sacrifices for your cleansing. And then in the very next section, the paralytic is forgiven of his sins.
Yes.
Now, most people would say, well, that's the same thing. But what Bob and I are arguing is, no, those are different. So, okay, if I'm going to use that as an example, what happened to the leper? His status changed. You know, he was excluded from society now. Now he can go to the synagogue. He can touch people. His status changed. And I don't know if that's the best way to say this or not, because I think we're so bogged down with our traditional way of seeing this positional forgiveness versus experiential forgiveness. And we seem to be saying the same thing. No, that's not what's going on here.
If you think of his illustration of a person who's bathed, does not need to have, you know, his whole body washed, just needs his feet because, you know, they used to walk on dusty roads and they wore sandals, so their feet would get dirty. Well, I think the point is you're clean. That is, your whole body is clean. You don't need all this other. What you need is ongoing cleansing of your feet. Spiritually speaking, if we're walking in fellowship with God, we are people who are only going to need ongoing cleansing of our feet, ongoing cleansing of those ongoing sins of which we are aware or unaware.
So you're making a distinction here. This is interesting.
Yeah.
So the cleansing of 1:7 is, I'm not aware of these.
I would probably say in light of 1:9, that the forgiveness is of the sins we're aware, and the cleansing is from the ones we're not aware. But I don't think 1 John 1:9 is implying that we don't get forgiven for the ones we're unaware. It is forgiveness and cleansing of both. But he's talking about cleansing from all unrighteousness. And I'm sure you've heard this idea, the tip of the iceberg. Well, the sins we are aware of are far less than the sins we commit.
Right.
In a day, we may confess a small number of sins, but who knows how much we sin. I've often said, if God dumped on us all at once, this is all of your sinfulness in your life, all of your sinful actions and attitudes, we'd probably have nervous breakdowns.
We wouldn't be able to do anything but confess our sins all day.
And so what God does is he reveals sins to us through the Holy Spirit, or if you're married, you have a spouse that's a sin detector.
Oh, man.
Right? Don't they help us?
Okay. Summarize what you think is what is being said in John 13. What is the bathing, and what does the feet washing represent?
Yeah, I think the bathing refers to, at the new birth, a person is clean from head to toe. But then, as they go through life, they get their feet dirty, and they need their feet to be cleansed. So we don't need the entire car wash over and over again. What we now need is just clean the hubcaps.
And would you say that is 1 John 1:7, that it's that if I'm walking in the light, he is continually washing my feet so that my status is still available to me, access to him, fellowship with him.
Right.
And it's incorrect then to say, even though they're related, that that's the same thing as the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah. In fact, I tend to think that this bathing, the positional cleansing, if we want to call it that, is kind of like justification.
Yeah, that's what I said to my Zoom class.
Yeah.
It's who I am. It's my status before him. I now have access to him, Romans 5.
And it's also kind of like 1 John 3:9. The one who is born of God does not sin, for the seed of God abides in him, and he cannot sin. The born of God part of us
is a clean part.
It's clean forever.
Right.
It never gets dirty.
Bob, I sure appreciate this discussion, and I know the folks in our Zoom class as well.
These are hard questions, and you need to pray about this. I'm sure a lot of people are going, Ken and Bob, maybe they're right on some things, but they've lost their way here. Pray about it, think about it, because it seems to me we don't find examples in Scripture of forgiveness in advance. When I first came to faith in Christ, I was told when you believe in Jesus, you get the forgiveness of your sins, past, present,
sure,
and future. A week later, I heard, if you confess your sins, he'll forgive you.
I'm confused.
And I'm like, what? You just told me they were all forgiven. And then they're like, no, there's a special kind of forgiveness.
Well, hope this will spur on further study and will lead to further questions for our podcast.
Amen.
And until then,
keep grace in focus.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On our next episode, will a carnally minded believer end up in heaven? In the meantime, have a great weekend, and let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.